Dundee had jogged along in a deliberate trot all day, keeping a check rein on his patience. Now the double log cabin lay ahead of him, and patience evaporated like a summer mist. He touched spurs to the bay, picking up into an easy lope. All morning he had watched for signs of Warren McCown or Uncle Ollie. He thought they might be riding these hills and the long valleys to check their cattle after the rains. Now, approaching the home place spring and the corrals, he looked for the men again. He still didn't see them. A single horse stood in the pen near the saddle shed. Unsaddling his bay and dropping the pack, Dundee noticed that Uncle Ollie's saddle hung on its rack, but Warren's was gone. The lazy old whelp probably waited till Warren was out of sight, then snuck back to loaf. He spread dry mesquite beans for the horses, then set out afoot toward the cabin. Millie stood in the dog run, smiling, her long hair adrift in the south wind, which had come up strong now that the rains were over and the clouds broken away. He walked briskly toward her. She didn't wait. She hurried to meet him halfway. She stopped when they were 3 paces apart, her eyes ashine. She made an instinctive gesture of opening her arms to receive him, realized what she had done, and brought her hands together. Dundee stopped. He fought a compelling urge to scoop her into his arms. A man didn't do that, not to a woman like this. He swallowed and remembered his place. He had no right. He crushed his hat in his hands the way he wanted to crush her.
Dundee! I don't know when I've ever been so glad to see somebody.
Been a while, ain't it? This time I shaved before I got here.
He'd washed out his clothes, too, though they had dried with the wrinkles of wadded up paper.
You didn't have to.
Yes, I did have to.
Millie smiled, and watching her warmed him like a long drink of whiskey. He'd never seen a woman before that a man could get drunk just looking at.
Dundee, I hope you can stay.
Well...
Warren's not here, and Uncle Ollie's had a fall.
Bad hurt?
Doesn't seem like he's got any bones broken, but he's sore and stiff, and it pains him to move. I need help with him till Warren gets back.
Where'd Warren go?
Went south to buy cattle.
South, you say? Why south?
North of us, there's nothing much but T-Bar. There are already too many T-Bar cattle running around here with somebody else's brand on them. Warren didn't want any, not even with a bill of sale.
Remembering what the old goat man had told him, Dundee counted back.
How many days since Warren left?
Six. 6 days and 7 hours.
Six.
He frowned, counting on his fingers, finally shaking his head.
Not Warren. Surely not Warren.
Come on, let me take you to Uncle Ollie. He'll be real tickled to see a friendly face.
Uncle Ollie lay on his cot atop the old woolen blankets. He had his breeches on for propriety, a concession to Millie, Dundee guessed, but his faded red underwear was his cover from the waist up. It bore patches that must have been stitched there by Millie McCown's patient fingers. Ollie raised himself up on his left elbow and stuck out his right hand.
Howdy, Dundee. Millie said she'd seen you ride in, but I didn't hear you. Used to be I could hear grasshoppers spit from 100 yards. Well, used to do a heap of things I can't do no more.
Horse throw you off?
I wish one had. There's a little bit of glory in that. Truth is, I was fishing and fell off the bank.
Dundee nodded. It was in character, all right. The old man was probably spreading it on thicker than it really was, but he was likely telling the truth in the main.
Just the same, we'll tell Warren it was a horse.
I reckon a little lie once in a while don't hurt nothing, as long as it's for a good cause.
I'm glad you see it my way, Dundee. I wish Warren did. Way he goes all the time, he'll be old before long himself. Then maybe he'll know, huh? Only it'll be too late then for me. I'll be dead and in my grave.
Ollie sat up and dropped his legs off the cot. Millie had moved across the room to the cabinet where she had some biscuit dough working.
Help me outside, will you?
Dundee took a thin arm around his shoulder and assisted the old man to his feet.
Come on.
Ollie moved slowly. Outside, he waved for a pause to rest.
Whew, much obliged. Some things a man can't have a woman help him do. I've been having to make this trip all by myself, and it's been pure hell.
Ollie, when'd you take this fall?
Well, it was the day Warren left, that very same day. How come you ask?
Just curious.
Dundee glanced toward the woodpile, knowing Millie had done most of the chopping herself unless Warren had left her a supply. Likely he hadn't. That's what Ollie was supposed to be for. Back in the cabin, Ollie stretched on the cot and began to talk about the old days, when the world had been freer and fresher and the air keener and men more honest and life had been a joy to live. Dundee only half listened, nodding when he thought he ought to, agreeing now and again with a quiet uh-huh. Mostly he watched Millie McCown kneading dough for supper biscuits, cutting the dough and putting it out in a flat pan. He watched her roll steak in flour and never even wondered what brand was on the hide it came from under. Uncle Ollie came completely unwound at the supper table, and Dundee noticed that even though the old man's legs were stiff and sore, his jaw swiveled quite easily, both for eating and talking. Ollie had known every famous cowman from the Rio Grande to the Canadian River, seemed like. He had known every gunfighter, and had personally witnessed every gunfight of any notoriety since the fall of the Alamo. And Dundee wondered how come he'd missed that one. Millie finished washing the dishes, put away the wet drying towel, looked at Dundee a moment, and then walked to the door.
It's nice out tonight. I think I'll get some air.
Ollie leaned on his elbow, nursing his pipe, eyes focused on something far beyond the room, far back in time.
Ah, them was the days, Dundee. I tell you, it ain't nothing like that no more. People don't enjoy themselves the way they used to.
Dundee looked outside at Millie.
Maybe they do. Maybe it's just a new bunch doing it now.
No, sir, ain't the same. Now, I mind the time before the ward was. Me and my brother was out on the Keechee.
The old man talked on, immersed in his storytelling, his mind lost in ancient memories. Or maybe it was ancient dreams. It would be hard to separate one from the other. Dundee eased out the door and left him there, still talking to himself. Millie leaned against one of the heavy cedar posts that held up the brush arbor. She stared down the valley into the gathering dusk. Dundee knew she heard him, but she didn't look around.
Expecting Warren back any day now. He's been gone an awfully long time.
Just 6 days, he said. Give him time, gotta move slow.
So do the hours, when you're out here so far from anybody just by yourself. No, I don't mean that Warren and Uncle Ollie aren't good company, but I mean, you go so terribly long here sometimes and never see a soul except family. Then when even one of the family leaves for a while, it's like somebody had died.
This isn't good for a woman. You shouldn't be out here.
I belong. It's the only real home I ever had. When Dad was living, we just drifted around from ranch to ranch, never owned anything, never stayed anywhere long enough to gather from the gardens we planted, even. Warren said we were gypsies, always on the move, never leaving anything behind us but wagon tracks. He said someday he was going to find him a place and put down roots so deep they couldn't be pulled up by anybody or anything. And I guess this is the place.
For a woman, it ain't much.
It's home. When you've wandered most of your life, it means something to stand on a piece of ground and call it your own. It gives you a feeling. I couldn't tell you what it's like to look across that valley yonder and know it's yours, to know that come tomorrow you'll still be here, and next month, and next year.
It's lonesome just the same.
Nothing is ever perfect. This is a lot better than we used to have, and it'll be even better yet. Warren will see to that.
Warren. Dundee realized that her brother had taken on the aspect of a father to her. The sun rose and set with Warren McCown, and would until some other man came along to establish a new and different relationship that would displace him.
You won't always depend on Warren. One of these days, some cowboy will take a good look at you and carry you off.
She turned, and he saw in her eyes a want so deep that it startled him.
He wouldn't have to go anywhere. He could stay right here.
Dundee looked away, somehow off balance.
This is a good place. A man could be happy here.
If he was the right kind of man for it. If his feet didn't keep getting the itch to move on.
If a man found what he was looking for, he wouldn't want to move anywhere, would he?
Some of us never know what we're looking for. We're just Looking.
When you do find it, do you think you'll know?
Couldn't rightly say. I ain't found it so far.
You could have, without realizing.
Dundee looked away, fishing a small sack out of his pocket, rolling himself a cigarette, spilling most of the tobacco. He stole a glance and found her frowning in thought.
Why do you work for John Titus?
For money, I guess.
You could as easy work for somebody else.
He's paid me good and there's more coming. For once in my life, I'm gonna have me a stake to show for my time.
And when you get that money, what do you do with it?
Been studying about data right smart. I'd like to have more to show for the next 30 years than I've had for the last 30. Been thinking I might set me up a business.
Like what?
Like maybe a saloon. An honest one, of course.
A saloon?
Beats cowboying. One time I spent 3 hard months on a ranch. Never saw the bunkhouse in daylight the whole time. Worked till I didn't even sweat anymore, just oozed blood. Went to town finally, and in 3 days I spent every cent I'd made in 3 months. That bartender didn't sweat. Heaviest thing he lifted in the whole 3 days was my money as he toted it to the bank.
Dundee, don't you want something better in life than a saloon?
It's a good investment. When times are easy, everybody spends free. Times get hard, they drink to forget their troubles. Either way, a saloon keeper walks a jingling.
There's more to life than money.
That's what they say. I've never seen much evidence of it.
There's more to you than you let on, Dundee. You could set your sights higher than that. A lot higher.
What do you figure I ought to aim at?
You could take your money and buy cattle with it. Maybe there wouldn't be many at first, but they'd be yours. You could take that little start and build the way Warren does. You wouldn't have to work for other people. You'd have cattle of your own, something that belonged to you and you could be proud of.
It's hard work punching cows. I know.
When the cows belong to you, it's not like working for the other man.
Dundee figured he was listening to a lecture from Warren McCown, second-handed.
Sure. I've thought about that, but there's something always worried me. What if I got myself all set on a place and had my roots down too deep to pull them up, and then my feet commenced itching again? What if I came to hate the sight of the place? What if it turned out to be more of a jail than a promised land?
Millie touched his hand. Her fingertips were warm and startling. It was as if he had brushed his hand against a wire fence in a lightning storm.
Maybe you wouldn't ever get to feeling that way if you had somebody with you.
Millie, I might even get tired of her too. Then she'd be miserable and so would I.
Her fingers tightened on his hand. He felt heat rising in his blood and he drew his hand away.
Millie, some men it's best to leave alone. There's a right smart you don't know.
But there's a lot I do know. You're a brave man and you're kind.
Kind? Maybe you ain't heard. I shot a man and run away.
I heard. Somebody told Warren.
Well, that ought to be enough to change your mind about me.
You didn't want to shoot him, did you?
But I did do it, and that's what counts.
It doesn't count. You just did what came necessary. I don't imagine it's an easy thing to live with. I've heard that when a man has to kill, it haunts him, that the dead man won't let him rest.
I've lost some sleep, all right, but it's mostly from worrying about his live friends.
Millie laced her fingers together and squeezed them. She tried to look at him, but cut her glance away when their gaze met. Dundee stared at her with hungry eyes, his pulse quickening, his hands shaking a little. He could sense a silent call reaching out to him, a cry of loneliness she didn't know how to express. And there was a want in him, too, deep as a canyon. It was that want which had brought him back here.
Dundee, I don't think I ever knew a man quite like you.
Millie, go in the house.
What?
You better go see after Uncle Ollie. He may need something.
He sensed the disappointment that folded in around her like a dark cloud.
Did I do something wrong?
No, but if you stay out here, I might.
I don't guess you'd do anything I didn't want you to.
There'd come a time when you'd wish I hadn't. You'd hate me then, and I'd likely have contempt for myself. You got a lot to learn yet, Millie. I don't want it on my conscience that I was the one taught you.
Although Uncle Ollie lapped up sympathy like an old dog takes to gravy, Dundee decided it wasn't all put on with him. The fall had really hurt the old man, and at his age, repairs came slow and painfully. Dundee wanted to stay and warm himself in the glow that came upon him whenever Millie was close. But times, the temptation to reach out and take her was almost more than he could push aside. He found that he feared himself more than he had ever feared any man. He would have left had it not been for Uncle Ollie. The old man would be a burden to the girl if she had to take care of him alone. Dundee chewed and fretted. Once, he made up his mind to leave and went so far as to catch his horses. Then he went in from the woodpile with a fresh-cut armload of stove wood and saw Millie struggling to help her hungry uncle to the table. Dundee knew he had to stay till Warren got home, but he wouldn't stay an hour longer than that. Millie being the way she was, it was just too damn dangerous. He purposely spent most of his time away from the house, chopping enough wood to carry halfway through next winter, stacking rocks for Warren's stone corrals, hoeing weeds out of the garden patch, anything to keep him mind-changing distance from temptation. Being close to her all the time, studying about her so much, kept him fighting against himself. Uncle Ollie was aware of his feelings. He spoke to him once when Dundee helped him take a walk out back.
Millie's kind of hit you between the eyes, ain't she?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, I've been noticing the way you watch her. Man, if I was of a violent nature, being her uncle and all, I could shoot you for the things you've been thinking.
You got an awful imagination.
I see what I see. You know, Dundee, half of everything here belongs to her. If you was to marry her, you'd have as much say around here as Warren does.
Dundee held his silence, knowing Ollie was fishing.
Warren expects too much out of an old man. He's working me into my grave, I tell you. But now you, Dundee, you could put a stop to that, because you got a feeling for an old man.
You're a dirty-minded, shameless schemer.
Well, an old man has to scheme. He can't fight.
Dundee was wondering how much longer he'd be able to stand it here when he saw the spring wagon laboring its way up the valley, the team straining in the afternoon sun, bouncing the wagon across the ford and up out of the stream bed. Dundee dropped a heavy rock he'd been about to place on the fence. He straightened his aching shoulders and squinted.
Warren?
He was supposed to come in with a herd of cattle. In any case, Warren hadn't taken the McCown wagon with him. It stood by the saddle shed. Dundee started toward the house, watching the wagon. He could make out two horses being led behind it, and two people sitting on the seat. One was a woman.
Millie! You got company coming?
Millie stepped out of the house, wiping flour from her hands onto an apron, lifting one hand to shade her eyes.
I can't make them out.
Dundee stepped into the house and came back with a pistol strapped on his hip.
The man is Roan Hardesty.
Blue Roan slouched on the wagon seat like a huge sack of oats, the reins in his big hands. Beside him, the saloon woman, Katie Long, sat with her back straight as a ramrod. If he hadn't known better, Dundee might have mistaken her for a schoolteacher.
Bet she could teach me some things, though. Katie Long. Bet that ain't her real name. Bet she ain't used her right name in so long she'd have to study to remember what it is.
Roan wheeled the wagon into the yard. Dundee saw two men in the back of it, one sitting up, one lying atop a stack of blankets. His gaze fell first upon the bandage. He remembered John Titus's contrary boy, the one he'd had that scrap with in Titusville. This was son Titus. The old renegade reined the team to a stop. He took a careful look around like a coyote surveying the chicken house, then tipped his shapeless hat to the girl by the arbor.
Evening, Miss Millie.
He shifted his gaze to Dundee, and his eyes seemed to laugh.
Howdy, Dundee. Figured this was where I'd find you at. I got me a couple of problems here I want to dump in your lap.
Dundee glanced at the woman. Katie Long wasn't looking at him. She was staring at Millie McCown. Dundee walked up to the wagon bed and peered into one defiant eye of the Titus heir. The other eye was swollen shut.
Son Titus, what the hell do you think you're doing here?
I come a-hunting cow thieves. I come to do the job you was hired for.
Roan Hardesty shifted his great bulk in the wagon seat to look back.
He's the old bear's cub, all right. Ain't no doubt about that. Got the looks of old John, and the temper. I would say he likes the brains. Must have took after some other branch of the family.
A bunch of questions were rattling around in Dundee's head, but he figured he'd get them all answered in due course if he would keep his mouth shut.
He come in to Runaway proud and loud. Except for a couple of saloon girls, he didn't make no friends.
What'd you do, run a bunch of horses over him?
Soon as I got the word who he was, I gave an order that nobody was to kill him. Guess I ought to have said nobody was supposed to hurt him, because they tried to see how far they could go without killing him. He asked for it. Felt kind of like stomping him a little myself, but I was being too good natured for that kind of thing.
I'll bet.
Dundee looked at the cowboy who lay on the blankets.
Who was this?
Oh, compadre, young Titus. He done what he could to get the boy out of trouble. He's got a bullet in his shoulder, or did have. Katie took it out.
Playing nurse again. Maybe you missed your calling.
What makes you think you know what my calling is?
Now, look. I already seen enough fighting to do me a while. I'm turning these two boys over to you, Dundee.
Why me?
Well, they're T-Bar property. I want you to get them back to old John. One more thing. Make damn sure this cub don't turn up and run away again. Next time, I might not be there to protect him. Somebody might put a permanent part in his hair.
Come on, son Titus. I'll help you out of the wagon.
I can get out by myself. You just move aside. Don't get in my way.
Son Titus scooted his rump down the wagon bed and gingerly eased to the ground, favoring sore muscles and miscellaneous lacerations.
If you want to, though, you can help my friend Tobe. He's not in no shape to help himself.
Dundee climbed up and carefully he lifted the cowboy. Katie Long quickly left the wagon seat.
Take it easy with him. He's not a beef to be jerked around.
I'm handling him as gentle as I know how.
And you don't know very much.
Katie stood at the rear of the wagon, ready to help bring the cowboy down. Son Titus waited there too, though Dundee figured he'd be as much help as a split slicker in a rainstorm. Millie McCown came to stand beside Katie Long. Dundee got one arm under the boy's back, the other under his legs, then eased him down to the women.
Just hold him now till I get down out of the wagon.
Dundee glanced at Millie.
Looks like you got another invalid.
It's all right.
On the ground, Dundee got the cowboy's good arm around his shoulder. Tobe had just enough strength to keep from wilting completely.
Hang on, partner. We'll get inside in a minute.
Oh, it's all right.
Old Blue Roan had silently watched from the wagon seat. Now he laboriously climbed off, his weight pulling the wagon down heavily on one side, even turning the wheel a little as he put a foot on a spoke and shifted his bulk to it.
I'm curious how you knew I'd be here.
I got eyes all over these hills. I've known pretty much where you've been from one day to the next, ever since you rode out of Runaway. I figured once you got here, you'd stay a while. I would, was I a mite younger.
Dundee glanced at Millie. She showed no sign that she caught Roan's implication. Katie Long did, though. She gave Dundee a glare that would kill Mesquite. Lying on his cot, Ollie McCown stared in amazement as they brought the cowboy into the room.
What the hell?
He saw Blue Roan then, and he cringed, dread clouding his eyes.
Lay easy, friend. I come here in a flush of generosity.
Millie pointed toward Warren's unused cot.
Put him there. If Warren comes home, he can sleep outside under the arbor like Dundee.
Roan looked disappointed. Katie Long stared gravely at the wounded cowboy, then at Millie.
We shouldn't have moved him this far, but Roan was afraid he'd come to harm in town. He needs to heal a while before he's moved again.
I feel kind of responsible, seeing as some of my boys done this to him. I don't expect you got any too much victuals in the house, so I'll fetch some extra.
Millie straightened in a flash of pride that reminded Dundee of Warren McCown.
We're not hungry. We can afford to feed an extra one or two.
No offense. Dundee, you want to help me fetch some victuals in?
Roan had brought the goods in a couple of canvas sacks. In one were dried beans and fruit and some flour and coffee. In the other, canned goods clanked together as Dundee hoisted the heavy sack to his shoulder. He glanced suspiciously at the old brand burner.
This don't sound like what I've heard about you.
Them stories was mostly lies.
Maybe not. I seen you a while back trying to run a bluff on them accounts here.
It weren't no bluff.
Then how come you to bring these groceries?
Not for the McCowns. Not Warren McCown, anyway. I reckon I owe John Titus a little something for old times. And for all the T-bar cows that I went into my pockets. I figure it's gonna be some days before you can haul that cowboy home. I want to send John his son back well-fed and in one piece. Yeah, give or take a couple of teeth.
Dundee waited a moment to see if Roan was going to carry the other sack, but it was obvious Roan hadn't really meant for Dundee to help him. He had meant for Dundee to tote them all. Dundee carried the groceries in, dropped the sack on the floor, and came back for the other. Roan reached under the wagon seat and brought out a couple of six-shooters with the gun belts wrapped around them.
Better drop these into that sack. They belong to young Titus and that cowboy. Was I you? I'd keep them hid till you get them boys back to John Titus.
The blue spots on his face seemed to darken.
One thing for damn sure. Don't you let that Titus button go back to runaway. Sit on him if you have to, or tie him to a cedar tree. I can't watch all the time.
He must have ripped things up a little.
He's a brassy little devil, I'll give him that. Rode into town like he was somebody. Scattered the news that he was thief hunting and he wasn't leaving without some scalps. I told the boys to let him alone, so they all just turned their backs on him. Then's when he found the women. I tell you, between loud talk and raw whiskey and warm women, he was having himself a high old time. That cowboy, he'd done his best to get him out of there, but I reckon young Titus had saved up too much of an appetite. I swear, Dundee, it's a mortal shame how that boy has been deprived. He tried to provoke them boys of mine by calling them cow thieves, but they all knew they was anyway, and they had my orders. When the fight finally did start, it was over one of the girls. Son got to poaching on private territory. If it hadn't been for the cowboy, Titus would have got killed. The cowboy took the bullet for him. Next time, it might be different. Watch him.
I will.
And maybe if you're busy watching him, you won't be coming back to run away yourself either. You didn't leave no friends there that I noticed.
I expect I'll be back.
It'd be a pity. I can't help but like a man a little bit when I respect him. I'd hate to shovel dirt in your face.
Through the open doorway, they could see Katie Long gesturing, telling Millie how to take care of the cowboy's wounds. The old outlaw watched, a gleam in his eyes.
I swear, Dundee, that's a good-looking filly, that McCown girl. And unbroke, too. A man could train her to suit himself. Was I you? I'd a whole lot rather spend my time playing games with her than stirring up dust over in Runaway.
Dundee frowned, but made no reply.
Yeah. An old man ought not to have to give advice to a young man in matters like this, but I will. Opportunity don't knock often in this life. When it does, you better grab.
You don't know a good woman when you see one.
A good woman is just one that ain't been given the right opportunities.
Katie Long came outside and beckoned silently with a quick jerk of her chin. Her eyes were sharp.
Dundee, I've told the girl what to do, but she's never had any experience with this kind of thing. You may have to help her.
I will.
There's something else you could do to help her, too. You could leave her alone.
What do you mean by that?
I mean the girl is young and she's green. She's like a wildflower way out on the prairie. She's never met your kind of man before and she doesn't know how to defend herself.
Who told you she's had to?
I saw the way she looked at you. You've got her eating out of your hand. I'm used to gunfighters. I've even gotten accustomed to thieves. But I'll be damned if I can find any excuse for a man who would take advantage of innocence.
What did you know about innocence?
Enough that I respect it when I see it. It's a sad thing when you lose it. I can remember.
Well, if it's any satisfaction to you, I ain't touched her.
Katie stared hard, and he knew it'd be difficult to hide a lie from those sharp eyes. Her gaze lost its edge.
I'd like to believe that.
Take it or leave it, it's the truth.
Don't tell me you haven't been tempted.
Hell yes, I've been tempted. You think I'm made out of wood?
Well, then remember this. The test of a man isn't whether he's ever tempted or not. It's whether he resists temptation.
It'll be easier now. You brought two extra pairs of eyes to watch me.
If the temptation gets too strong, there are women in Runaway.
Including you?
My business is whiskey.
Come on, Katie. It's a long ways back to town.
If you're worried about Millie, you could stay here and protect her.
I might have to protect myself.
Dundee watched the wagon slowly drop down into the ford and climb out on the far side of the stream. He turned then toward the cabin, bracing himself a little. His eyes found Son Titus as he walked through the door.
You damn fool, Button. What do you think you was doing to run away?
You'd know if you'd been doing the job my dad hired you for instead of laying up here passing the time with some Nestor girl.
Dundee glanced at Millie and saw the color rise. He clenched his fist.
Watch out what you say, boy.
If you'd been out doing what you was supposed to do, you'd have knowed that they made a big raid on the T-bar and run off just enough cattle to make a whole herd for some greasy sack outfit like this one.
So you decided to try and make the old man see you've growed up. You decided to go and wipe out the cow thieves all by yourself.
I ain't finished yet.
Yes, you are. You've all but got your friend here killed. If it wasn't for old Roan, you'd be lying out yonder someplace now feeding buzzards.
You act mighty thick with that splotchy-faced old scoundrel. I've had a notion all along you'd fall in cahoots with that wild bunch.
It was on Dundee's tongue to tell Son Titus that Roan had once been a friend of his father. But anger had a tendency to make words come hard for him. It was easier to ball up a fist and hit something.
Son Titus, if a man just worked at it a little bit, he could get to where he didn't like you at all.
I got friends enough. I don't need you.
Dundee pointed his chin at the cowboy who lay in silence on Warren McCown's cot.
You like to have lost one of them. Till he gets in shape to move, you'll stay here and behave yourself. I'm not going to take any foolishness off of you, Son Titus. Cross me and I'll slap you down.
You're forgetting, Dundee. I don't take orders off of you. You're working for us.
I'm working for your old daddy. And you will take orders or I'll pack you home tied up like a long-eared maverick.
Son's swollen eye and his stiff joints hadn't left him unable to walk. He limped painfully out of the cabin, trying to stomp, but hurting too badly to make it effective.
I'll likely have to clean his plow again before he makes up his mind to wear the bridle. And I believe I could do it smiling.
Dundee turned toward the cot where the cowboy lay.
What did they say his name was?
Tobe, I think they said.
Yeah, it's Tobe. Tobe Crane.
I thought you was out like a dry lamp. By rights, you could just as well have been dead. Didn't you have better sense?
Son was bound and be damned. I had to try to help him.
How old are you?
21.
If you want to reach 22, you got some things to learn. One of them is to pick better friends. I'd as soon carry dynamite in my hip pocket as to ride with Son Titus.
Son's all right. He's just trying to show his old daddy to be the old man all over again. He don't know how.
I hope he lives long enough to learn. Wasn't you trying to help Son Titus bob my horse's tail in Titusville?
We didn't mean you no harm. I'm glad we didn't finish the job.
Dundee turned as if to go. The cowboy weakly lifted his hand.
Dundee, Son has got his faults, but he's got the makings. The old man knows it, but he don't know how to show it. He's afraid of making Son's head swell, I reckon. So, he treats Son like a little boy, and Son keeps on trying to prove he's not. That's all that's the matter with him. You gotta understand that about Son.
Does the old man know Son went to Runaway?
No. He gave Son orders to go north after a string of horses. Far as old John knows, that's where he went.
Dundee glanced at the girl, whose eyes warmed with sympathy as she looked down on the cowboy.
Amelia will take good care of you. Soon as you can stand a trip, I'll take you and Son home.
That's decent of you, Dundee.
I'm being paid for it.
Outdoors, he found Son Titus slumped in a rawhide chair beneath the brush arbor. Son gave Dundee a quick look with his good eye and cut his face away.
I ain't no shape to fight you now, Dundee, but I'll heal.
The distant bawling of cattle drifted across the long valley and fell on Dundee's ears as welcome as the jingle of coin to a broke cowpuncher. Warren McCown was back. Dundee saddled his horse and rode south toward the sound. Tobe Crane wasn't ready to be moved yet, but Dundee seriously considered taking Son Titus home anyway. He could come back for Tobe later or send after him. The days of sitting here waiting had not improved Sun's disposition much. He still prowled suspiciously, growled when spoken to, and walked around like a crown prince waiting for the coronation.
It'd be worth half my wages to dump him in the old man's lap and then kiss him goodbye with the toe of my boot.
He could see two riders slowly stringing the cattle along the creek. He could pick out Warren McCown by the way he sat his horse. The other man was a stranger, evidently a cowboy Warren had picked up to help him drive the herd. Dundee splashed across the creek and rode up to Warren, his hand raised in a sign of peace. The bearded Warren nodded, eyes friendly.
Howdy, Dundee. You want to check the brands, just help yourself.
I don't reckon that'll be necessary.
Do it anyway. Then you can tell old John Titus that I got none of his cattle here and you can vouch for me.
Dundee rough counted about 100 mother cows. They carried two brands he'd never seen before.
I can show you the bills of sale.
You don't have to.
I will anyway.
Warren pulled them out of his pocket and extended them at arm's length.
Just in case anybody asks you.
Dundee nodded, then he shoved his hand forward.
Pleased to see you back, Warren.
How come you to know I'd been gone?
I've been at your place several days.
Warren tried not to show it, but Dundee could see the sudden worry.
How's Millie?
She's fine.
I don't like to go off and leave her there. Just her and Uncle Ollie.
Nobody's bothered Warren, I'll vouch for that.
Dundee could feel the keen probing of Warren's eyes until Warren at last appeared satisfied.
Found her needing help, so I stayed. Uncle Ollie got himself hurt, fell off a horse. Was too shook up to do much for himself, but he's better now, though.
More than likely fell out of a rocking chair, if truth is known. It's like my old daddy used to be, gypsy. He'd starve to death if he didn't have somebody to lean on. Sorry, Dundee. I know you got no interest in our family problems. I think the world of Uncle Ollie, but I know where his weakness is. Been fighting it all my life, and him, and my old daddy, even in myself.
Anyway, I can afford to leave now you're home.
Well, thanks for helping Millie. You didn't have to do it.
I couldn't have left.
And I expect I know why. I could see it, the way you looked at her and the way she looked back at you. You're not for her, Dundee. She needs a man, and she'll get herself one. But you're not the kind, and I think you know it.
You figure I got some gypsy in me, too?
Nah, you're not lazy the way Uncle Ollie is. But you got a restlessness about you. You never stay put. And Millie needs a man who'll make a home for her and stay there.
I've been wondering if I could change.
A colt may change color, but a grown horse never does.
They loose-herded the cattle along the creek a while until the animals settled down and began to graze. Finally satisfied they would stay, Warren signaled the cowboy and pointed toward the house. The rider crossed the creek and waited on the other side. Warren introduced Dundee to him.
We'll treat him to a woman-cooked meal before he heads up home. It's been a lot of help.
The cowboy had nothing much to say. Dundee measured him with his eyes and decided the cowboy would probably take his wages and head for the nearest town to blow them in. That, in all likelihood, would be Runaway. He would ride out of there broke, sadder, but probably not wiser. Dundee knew he'd done the same thing more times than he cared to remember. On the way in, Dundee recounted old Roan's bringing son Titus. Warren jerked his head around in surprise.
Son Titus? In my house?
I hope you don't mind.
He's there, so I guess it don't make any difference. But old John Titus looks on all of us as cow thieves. I sure never expect to see any of his kin staying in my house.
I'm figuring on getting him out pretty quick. I better warn you, he ain't the most likable sort you'll ever meet. Chances are he'll insult you before you get out of the saddle.
Then I'll probably hit him.
Probably. I want you to know there won't be no hard feelings on my part.
Wouldn't change nothing if there was.
Dundee guessed that was why he'd come to like Warren McCown. Warren had a way of saying what he thought, whether it crawled under your hide or not. Maybe sometime Dundee could bring John Titus around to meet him. The old ranchman appreciated a man who could stand flat-footed and tell him to go to hell.
Warren! Oh! You're home.
Millie McCown threw her arms around her brother, paying no attention to 2 weeks' ragged growth of beard. Warren tolerated her tears for a smiling moment.
Now, Millie, we're mighty lank and looking for something to eat. I've been bragging about your cooking, so here's a chance to prove me right.
Of course. Now, tell me about your trip. What things did you see?
Nothing to tell. We've come a long ways. No excitement.
Son Titus had been poking around somewhere back of the house. He came up now as if the place belonged to him. He stopped at the corner and stared distrustfully at Warren McCown and the cowboy. Warren's eyes narrowed a little.
Hello, son Titus.
I don't know you. How come you know me?
It don't matter. I know you.
Neither made a move to shake hands.
Son, this is Warren McCown.
I figured that. He's got a little of the same looks as the girl, only not a bit pretty. Did you get a good look at the brands on them cattle?
He did, and I also showed him the bills of sale. You want to see him too, son? If you do, all you gotta do is come and take him away from me.
Dundee guessed he ought to stop this before it went any farther, but he didn't make a move. It'd be pleasurable to see son Titus take his stomping.
Warren, there's hot coffee on the stove. I expect it tastes pretty good while you wait for me to cook some dinner.
Warren gave son Titus a hard glance.
All right, Millie. I expect it would.
McCown walked on into the cabin, the cowboy following. Dundee strode angrily toward son Titus.
Son, I wished I knew what it is that ails you. That's a hell of a way to talk to a man after you enjoyed the hospitality of his house.
I ain't enjoyed it very much. You're keeping me prisoner.
You're not a prisoner. You were wondering about them cattle. Why don't you saddle up and go look at them for yourself? You're free to ride.
You're a slick one, ain't you? You know I ain't fixing to ride very far from here without a gun, and I know you got mine hid someplace.
You'll get it back when I turn you over to your old daddy.
I want it now.
Fiddle with me very much, and I'll give you something you don't want.
You'll have to have a heap of help.
Son turned on his heel and stalked toward the saddle shed. After several paces, he stopped and looked back over his shoulder.
I will go see them cattle. Don't hold your breath waiting for me to come back. I'll be a while.
Take all the time you want to.
Son didn't come in for dinner. Warren's cowboy collected his pay, burped happily, and left in the general direction of Runaway, as Dundee had expected. A good deal later, son Titus came in. Dundee should have been warned by the triumph in his eyes, but Dundee was enjoying a minor triumph of his own.
You see them cattle all right?
I seen them.
Satisfied they ain't from the T-bar?
I reckon.
Next time maybe you won't be so hell-bent to accuse everybody.
Maybe not.
Dundee watched him till a bit later when Son strayed off toward the corrals, as he always did, to sleep alone. To reassure himself, Dundee dug down through the wood in the big box behind the stove till he found the six-shooters where he had put them. That eased his mind somewhat, for he'd begun to suspect that Son might have found his gun. Next morning, Son didn't come in for breakfast. Dundee walked out to the corrals to fetch him and came hurrying back.
Anybody hear a horse leave last night?
Warren McCown shook his head.
Son Titus run out on you, Dundee?
He's gone. Horse, saddle, and all.
I can't say that grieves me much.
It grieves the hell out of me. I can't figure him going off without a gun.
A sudden thought struck him like he'd been kicked by a yearling.
Warren, that cowboy with you yesterday, he was wearing a gun.
.45, I think it was.
Son didn't come in till an hour or so after your cowboy left here. I bet he waited out yonder someplace, stopped that feller, and bought the gun off of him.
Which way you reckon he went?
I'll hunt for his tracks, but I think I already know.
He didn't bother trying to follow the trail. The destination was plain enough. Runaway. Dundee put the bay horse into a steady trot, his mind running wild with all manner of notions about the trouble son Titus could have gotten himself into by now. He saw him being shot, knifed, stomped, clubbed, and dragged at the end of a rope. It wouldn't displease Dundee to see any of these things happen to the fool kid, except that most of them were inclined to be so damned permanent. He stopped at the crest of the hill and looked down over the motley stretch of the town, wondering which picket shack or rock saloon he'd find son Titus in, if any of them. By now, the button might be lying dead on that riverbank someplace, cast out there like the empty bottles and rusting cans and bleaching cartridge boxes which littered the place, giving mute testimony to many a day and night of revelry and devilment in times past. Though he didn't want to, Dundee gazed a moment at the mercantile across from the Llano River Saloon, coldness touching him as he remembered Bunch Carnes slumping in a lifeless heap on the dirt street in front of it. He reined up at the wagon yard, stood in his stirrups, and peered over the picket fence, studying the horses penned there. He picked out the sorrel that Son Titus had ridden. Son was still here then. At least, he hadn't left here on horseback. The liveryman was forking hay into a bunk made of cedar pickets. He stood the fork against the fence and came walking, taking his time.
Howdy.
From the man's eyes, Dundee knew he was recognized.
Something I can do for you, friend?
That sorrel yonder. What do you know about him?
Just that he's a horse. He's got a T-bar brand on him. Boy come in here last night, said he was old John Titus' son. I figured if he was telling the truth, fine. If he wasn't, stolen horses ain't no lookout of mine. Either way, my nose don't get skinned.
You seen that boy this morning?
Nope.
You know where he went?
I keep horses, that's all.
You hear anybody shooting last night?
They're shooting most every night. Most times it's just in fun. Long as it don't hurt me none, I don't pay it any mind.
Thanks, friend. You've been real helpful.
Dundee headed the bay down the crooked street in a walk, gazing suspiciously at every shack as he passed it. He didn't know just what he was looking for. Whatever it was, he didn't find it. When he reached the far end of town, he'd see nothing that would help him locate Son Titus. He started back. His gaze fell upon Katie Long's Llano River Saloon, and inevitably upon the place in the dirt where Bunch Carnes had fallen. A dun horse had stood hitched there quite a while, evidently, and he had left the sign of time's slow passage on the spot where Carnes' blood had soaked into the earth.
They don't honor death here much more than they honor life.
He dismounted at the saloon and looked around a moment, warily gauging the prospect of a reception. There was none that he could see, but a tingling along his spine told him he wasn't being overlooked. He stepped into the saloon. Katie Long sat at a table riffling a deck of cards. She gazed up at Dundee with the faintest suggestion of a smile. He would swear she was laughing at him.
What kept you? Son Titus got to town before midnight.
I sleep late. I don't reckon he'd be in here someplace.
How'd he get out of his cage?
I forgot the lock. If he's not in here, where you reckon he's at?
Oh, you were his age once. Where would you have gone?
Hmm.
You'll find them down the street. Way down the street.
How'll I know him?
You're old enough. You'll know them.
Dundee stared at this woman who seemed to enjoy sticking needles in him.
Last time I implied some things about you, you got awful mad.
I got mad because they weren't true. But you're not mad. You're smiling.
Dundee realized that he was, and he tried to put a stop to it.
You've made a big point about how all you sell is whiskey. Will you sell me a drink?
I sure hadn't figured on giving you one. Cricket, fetch Dundee some of our best. I figure he can afford it.
Now I'll drink whatever Roan Hardesty does. He ought to know his liquor.
Don't take him for a model. He'll drink anything but coal oil. Sit down, Dundee.
I figured one drink, then I'd go hunt for Son Titus.
He's all right. If anything had happened to him, I'd have heard. You can take time to sit down and enjoy the whiskey.
Dundee looked at the layout of the windows and moved to the other side of the table where the bar and a solid wall would be to his back.
You act like you've been in towns like this before.
Not many, I'm glad to say. Mostly I just cowboyed. It don't pay too good, but a man's back is safe.
Dundee took the drink the bartender had put on the table in front of him and downed it.
This is your good whiskey. I'm glad I didn't ask for nothing cheap.
We don't get a very choosy clientele here.
Maybe you would if you handled a better line of goods.
You want to try it? I'd sell you the place cheap.
Wouldn't be a good long-range investment, not here in Runaway.
You don't think Runaway has a bright future?
Not very long, either. I figure old John Titus has got some plans for Runaway, and they ain't likely to be good for the whiskey business. If somebody comes along and wants to buy this place, you sell it to them.
How come you're interested in my welfare, Dundee?
I don't put no burrs under my blanket either way. But seeing how you patched up that crane boy and Son Titus, I don't see no harm in trying to help you out of the gully before the flood comes down.
You know how hard it is to kill a snake. Runaway won't die easy.
John Titus has got it wrote down at the top of his list.
Well, I came by the place awfully cheap. I don't have a lot to lose. Besides, John Titus may not be as tough as you think he is.
Don't bet on it. If you get yourself an offer, sell. Enjoyed the hospitality, Miss Long. I'd best go find the cub and fetch him home.
You be careful, Dundee. There's people here who would be tickled to death to pitch in and help pay for your funeral.
Well, I'll try to save them their money.